Tonight we are going to be hearing from Gabriel Webb, my husband. He has an amazing word from the Lord, and I always get big previews of it, pretty much the whole message before. So I'm excited about it because I know what it's about. So you guys should be excited because you know that I am, yeah, I'm a little bit biased, but it's going to be great. So can you welcome Gabriel Webb?
You ever thought about why worship's good? Like, I don't know. It's a funny term. That was good worship. You ever thought about that? Was it good? I mean, what does that mean? This is kind of random, but I just don't know why we say that. You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean, worship was good? Any takers, any suggestions why we do that? I'm confused. If you're confused, that's okay. But some of you are whispering, he's weird. What a weirdo. Yeah, I'm weird. But really, I mean, why is it good? Why is it good? Is it good because we did something different? I mean, I think that it's awesome to honor those and stuff who lead us into his presence, whatever that means. But I think it's awesome, but is it good because we did something different? Is it good because we were trying stuff, or I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. But why can't worship be good every time? Maybe it is every time. I don't know. No, I don't. I'm waiting for an answer for myself. I'm not getting one. Go to Luke. Hey, sweetie, where'd you put the mic? Ashley, mic. Oh, there it is. You guys in Luke chapter 1? Is anybody alive? All right. Wait, let's go to, I think it's Luke 2. Sorry, Luke 2. Sorry, it's just one chapter ahead. And while you're flipping, I want you to be thinking of a story. Anybody, we're in Christmas, and the awesome thing about Christmas is family are in town, and I don't know, I hope you celebrate Christmas. If you don't, that's okay, but we do. We celebrate Christmas. And Christmas is a good time. Christmas is a good time. The good thing about Christmas is a lot of stories. So, you guys there at Luke 2? Anybody have a fun story? Anybody think of a fun story? I know some of you just want to touch the mic. So, anybody have a fun story about Christmas? Where's Andrew Satterfield? There you are. You got a story, man? You got a story?
Yeah.
All right.
It's real short. Don't give him the mic.
All right. I got to hold it, brother. Okay. I got to hold it. Go ahead.
So, Pastor Josh told me when I was in a backhoe once that he...
Who's Pastor Josh?
Pastor Josh is the senior pastor of the Abilute Main Church. And so I was there with Andrew. And Josh, before he left at GM camp, we were building it. He says, James, whatever you do, do not destroy that tree. Because Andrew and I had decided that it was in the way. It was a nice pine tree Christmas.
Dude, GM camp is fun.
Amen.
Isn't GM camp fun? Okay, so there was this one time. I was at GM camp. Oh, okay, sorry. But okay, I got a story for you. Go ahead.
Okay, so real quick before he runs away again. basically, with the backhoe, we extended it all the way, the little doof, 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 and the little end, doof, and then we just crushed the tree. And we picked it up, we shook it 3 times, and we dropped it right in front of Josh Tanner's Durango as he rode up. It was epic.
Epic. Awesome. Give him a round of applause for his awesome story.
I really did have a good story. Has that ever happened to you when you're talking to somebody and they remind you of something? And then you just totally interrupt them and you're like, oh yeah, totally, I did the same thing. And then you tell them this whole great story, then you just walk away. I almost did it. And it was almost actually on an accident too. Same situation, but I didn't take the backo. I didn't mean to interrupt you, bro. But has that ever happened to you guys before? Where you're talking and somebody just interjects. They're like, let me give you my 2 cents on that thought. Or it's like you're talking to somebody and you're talking to a pastor or somebody that is mentoring you, whatever that means. And you start telling them your heart and they're like, well, brother, what you need to do is this. And you're like, I'm not even done. I just wanted you to listen to me. Anybody? Am I the only one that's ever been interrupted before? James, thanks for being a volunteer. I was glad it was you because I was looking for somebody I could interrupt that wouldn't be offended. You weren't really offended, so. You're bitter. Okay. My theory was fault. Interruptions. I want to talk about interruptions tonight. And if we get interrupted tonight, and I just feel like we should go somewhere else, then it's not ironic that we get interrupted. But I want to talk about interruptions. Interruptions, we don't like interruptions. Because interruptions mean, they mean change. What is going on? Okay. That's an interruption. That's an interruption. Not you. Sorry. That's horrible. Billy, when you were born, it was an interruption. I'm just kidding, bro. I love you. I wasn't saying that.
Hey, somebody was
happy. I was happy, bro. I was happy. Well, if anybody, Jesus was happy. That's true. Dude, I was this kid. But interruption means change. It's hard that when you're talking specifically to somebody that's pastoring you or your parents or something, and you open up your sex life to your parents. Did he just say sex in church? I did. And you start talking about things, and then your parent interjects you, or your little brother walks in the room and throws a ball at you, or whatever. And so we hate interruptions because we're getting somewhere, and then all of a sudden somebody just... Let me say something about that. Can I throw a wrench in that? Or just, you're like, okay, I'm sitting right here, I'm talking to you, I'm telling you my heart, and you just, I don't like interruptions. As a matter of fact, when I interrupted him, every single one of you laughed. Well, I hope you did. Some of you didn't because you're stoic. But I love you. I'm just kidding. But when I interrupted him, you guys thought that was weird that I'm like the guy up here supposed to be preaching God's word, and he just interrupted him. What a jerk, you know? Because we know that none of us like interruptions. It doesn't have to be an interruption in a phone or in a conversation. It can be an interruption in life. You're sleeping and you get that text message at 3:30 in the morning. You got a final at 8 o'clock. And then you don't respond, so they send another one. Has that ever happened to anybody?
Yes.
Okay. I don't like interruptions. And we could go on and on and on, but I think the main reasons why we don't like interruptions is because man's goal, or when I say man, I mean humankind, mankind's goal is to be comfortable. Comfortable. And so when somebody interrupts us, or when we have an interruption in life, or say if you get up in the morning and you got to get up at 6:30 because you got to spend 5 minutes in your word and pray for 2 minutes, and you got to leave your house at 7:30 to get to work on time at 8, and then at 11:30 you got to leave because, no, at 11 you got to leave because at 11:30 you got to be at class at UAA across town, and you got class from 11:30 to 1, and then you got to get your exercise And you just have to get exercise from 1:30 to 3, because at 3 o'clock, you got to go pick up your little brother at school. Okay, so you pick up your little brother at school, you take him home. And then you got about an hour and a half to do homework, because at 5 o'clock or about 5:30, you got dinner plans with your parents. They need to talk to you about something. And then again at 7:30, you got class. You don't need any interruptions. So the last thing you want is at 11:02, when you're walking out the door, you're already thinking, I'm going to be late for class. But then your boss says, oh, one more thing. That ever happened to anybody? Oh, your parents, you're running out the door because you're late to practice. Oh, can you take out the trash? I can. Do I want to? No. And it's just, and so this girl, this person, who's trying to leave work at 11:02 gets this interruption, this interjection, this intervention that must be important, because whenever anybody interrupts you, what they're saying is what you have to say isn't as important as what I have to say. And what I'm about to do is not as important as what you want to do or what you're doing at this moment. Okay, so I'm just getting started. This isn't even the message yet. And so I didn't even read a scripture yet. Did I read a scripture yet? Man, I didn't even prayed yet. So this girl, she gets this interruption. Her boss says, oh, can you make 8 more copies of that? Oh, fine. And so she runs over there and she puts the paper on the thing and she pushes 8. Or, you know, pushes start and neat, neat. Okay. And it gets to about 4 and it goes neat, 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 neat. And you're like, oh, and you run over there and it's out of paper. So you realize that 3 stories in the storage room below you is paper. Clock's ticking. It's 11:07, and you got a quiz at 11:30. If you're late, you know those consequences. So you run all the way downstairs, and you grab that paper. Remember, all of this means something. So listen. And so you run downstairs, you grab that paper, and you run upstairs, and you stick it in the deal, and you push start. And it goes to 5, and 5th one prints out, and 6th one prints out. So you're walking in the door, and he goes, nee, 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 nee. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And so you run over there, and it says, out of ink. I don't know if copy machines take ink, but this one does. I'm making the story. And so it just, out of ink. And so you realize, again, it's 3 stories down in the storage room. You're going all the way down there. Get the ink, run all the way back up. It's 11:15. And the clock's ticking. And she's getting frustrated, or you're getting frustrated, because you know what's about to come. It's snowing outside. The roads are icy, and you need about 17 and a half minutes to get there, and hopefully parking's okay so you can even walk in the class and get there on time, or to your date, or whatever's going on. And so you get the ink deal, and you put it in there, and you push it in, and the 8th one prints off, and you're like, finally, and you're walking out the door, you get your bag on, and as you're walking out, rushing out the door, your boss says, oh, one more thing. And you turn around and you yell, eh, you know, and you just get ticked off and you yell at him. And you're like, no more things. Because you hate interruptions. But the funny thing is that he's like, just wanted to tell you I'm giving you a $200 bonus. You're like, oh. And then you take off and you're on. And so you're late to class, and because you're late, you know that there's consequences, and so now your teacher is going to give you a 5-page essay that you have to write. And it normally would be due 2 weeks from now, but because it's at the end of the semester, you got to write out the 5-page essay, and it has to be done. So you got to stay after class. You don't get a workout. So you're ticked off, and so you go pick up your little brother, and he's late running out the door, so you hit him when he gets in the car. And so it just never stops, and you lay in bed at night, and I could just keep going on and on and on, but it all started when your boss said, oh, just 8 more copies. And so you hate interruptions, as do I, as does anyone. That's a good interruption. While they were there, this is Luke 2:6, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's no room for them. There was no lodging available. The baby couldn't stay the night. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you that you're God. And we thank you that you're good. And we thank you that you love us. God, we're asking you to open up your word to us. Help us to see, reveal the Christmas story to us, God. We're thank you. We're thankful and grateful for your son. Bless us. Open your word to us. Reveal revelation to us. God, more than anything, God, we ask you to receive glory. And you'd receive honor. God, help us to hear and understand and teach us how to put all this into practice. We praise you, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we don't like interruptions. We don't like them because an interruption means change. An interruption means being uncomfortable. And man's number one goal is to be comfortable in life. It's just their number one goal. If you really sum everything down to what man really wants and what humankind really wants and what your sinful nature really wants, he just wants to be comfortable. Look at the chairs you're sitting in. Are you going to put a spruce beetle in your pants? I would. That's random. Are you going to put spruce beetle? I don't know where that came from. But are you going to put a spruce beetle in your pants? Answer the question. Don't laugh at me. My point is that he's wearing this sweater. Not only does it look good, and every time I see him, and he's wearing this sweater, you don't wear it every time I see you. I did. But every time I see you, while you're wearing that sweater, I admire it. It looks good, and it's comfortable. Have you ever felt the inside of that thing? I have. Frost choppers, fierce beaters. Beaters? I forgot to take my Invisalign out. I'm wasting time. And so he's trying to be comfortable. He doesn't want me to interrupt him in his comfortable position, atmosphere, clothing. Anyway, you get the point. But let me tell you something. God is the God of interruptions. God likes to interrupt. Have you ever noticed that? When you read the Bible, it's a story, and all of a sudden, then God. And you're like, "What? How did this happen? They're just living life, God." You read in Genesis, I think it's in 12, I don't know, but you read of a guy named Abram. He's probably a very wealthy young man. We do know that he had livestock and, you know, sheep and goats and the sort. So we know he was pretty well off. The Bible says he's living at his father's house, and God says, "Hey, get out. You and this whole deal, you just leave. Your whole comfortable situation is, get out." God speaks to, or God comes and wrestles Jacob. We read it in Genesis 32. Interrupts him in the middle of his frustrations, in the middle of his deceptions, in the middle of his lies. God comes to Moses and comes to him as a burning bush. It's kind of weird. Interrupt me with a burning bush. You can do that. He interrupts a little boy named Jeremiah. He heard a voice, and God was telling him he was going to speak the word of God. "You will be my mouth." And he ran from it, and eventually he just couldn't help it because God chose him, and he's God's sovereign. God likes to interrupt lives. He likes to interrupt things, especially when they're comfortable. Because when it's not comfortable, then he doesn't get any glory. But when everything's peace, he likes to come in because then he's seen. He's heard. Sometimes when there's chaos, he just kind of lets people have chaos. But when it's comfortable, he makes chaos. Ephesians 2:1. "We were dead in trespasses and sins, in which we once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, following our lustful desires. In a lifestyle of doing everything he or she could do to be comfortable. Did you know that about 2,000 years ago, what happened was the Greeks came in at about 330 BC, around that time. Alexander the Great, you've heard of him. You've heard of the Hellenistic movement where the Greeks came in and they shook everything up and they took over. Brought in the Greek philosophy, the Greek thinking, Greek culture, which was mainly orgies. And then the Romans came in, and I think it was like 130 or 220, or I can't think of it right now, but Romans come in and they take over. And you got Roman law and Roman rule, Roman government, Roman roads, and both of these together made a very comfortable environment. The Jews were welcomed back in, and they were able to live and to function and to have peace and life. And really, the Romans, in some ways, were partnering with the Jews. There was a council that the Romans had that was with the Jews. It was called the Sanhedrin, where the Jews and the noblest people, or the wealthiest people of the Roman culture and the culture of that time, would all get together. And part of that council was Jews. They partnered together. It was comfortable. It was comfortable. And I like this. It says, we were dead in trespasses, walking according to the course of this world, conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, doing what we want to do, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath. And then in verse 4, I call it the biggest but of the Bible. Because in verse 4 it says, but God. But God. But God. Another interruption. This interruption separates the whole Old Testament. We've heard of the Old Testament, right? The whole Old Testament from the New Testament. This interruption, this but that God chooses again to come into mankind, into their comfortable lifestyle, into the comfortable Roman and Jewish culture. God comes in again with to give his 2 cents, throw a wrench in it. Did you know that at this time, because we all, and even that culture, was walking in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of our sinful nature. Rome and Jews and all alike were all, the Jews weren't in any way more holy than anybody else. We were all following the lust of the flesh, but God. Now see, at this time, it could have been right. And really, it would have been just and righteous and true for God to come in with wrath. It could have said, but God comes full of wrath and anger and destroys mankind. God could have interrupted mankind. He could have interrupted with wrath and anger. He could have come in as a lion and destroyed all people. If it was obligated according to us, if his obligations were to us, he could have. But because his obligations were to himself and to his word, and because God is a God of love and mercy, he responded not to man, but he responded to his own love and his own foreknowledge of what he wanted to take place. But God, it's another interruption. If anybody has the right to interrupt, it's God. I don't care if he's coming to judge or he's coming to have pity. He has the right to interrupt. If I'm praying and I feel like God tells me something, I don't say, well, hold on, God, let me finish what I'm trying to say. Okay? If anybody has the right to interrupt, it's God. And God could have justly, if that's a word, interrupted with wrath. Man. Have we thought about that before? God, you know, you could have just come and just annihilated. I don't even have to be here today. I don't even have to be living today. That in and of itself is mercy, that God waited for me to live and to breathe and to have my being. That's mercy. He could have come with something else. But we just read it. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son. Or another translation, for the baby to be born, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Say it this way. God butted in with a baby. I call it when a baby interrupted. We're in Christmas time. And I think that we need to remember what happened at that specific moment. At that specific moment, God decided to interrupt with a baby. God butted in with a baby. God gave his 2 cents with a baby. I don't know, any other king, if it was me, I would have come in with a hammer. Maybe you'd do something better, but personally, me, I'd come with a hammer, sword, some immortal king riding on a horse that is immortal also. Because if his horse fell, anyway. But he comes in with a baby. He comes in with not just a baby, but it was first like a molecule, and it just, it was weird. God put a seed inside of a woman, interrupted some 14-year-old, 15-year-old girl, and just said, hey, you have nothing to do with this, just letting you know you're going to be giving birth to a baby in about 9 months. Oh, okay, thanks. You know? Oh, Joseph, your wife-to-be, she's pregnant. Okay. All right. So he's planning how he's going to break her up or how they're going to break up. And God goes, look, shepherd boys, just living in the neighborhood, tending sheep. And God comes with angels and speaks to them. God butted in with a baby. But it wasn't just any baby. It was his son. Like it says in Romans 5:6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. But it wasn't just a baby, it was God's son. It was God's son for the purpose of something. Because this son, see, even though it was a baby, this baby could have grown up with a sword and started killing people. Yeah, that's kind of crazy, but he could have. He's telling you the truth. But what did he come for? Matthew 1, 21, it says, this is Jesus talking to Joseph. He says, and she, who's she? Mary, right? Mary will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So this little baby comes into the world and interrupts the world with salvation. This baby. But God, we read in Ephesians 4, but God, I call it the biggest but of the Bible. And it is my favorite scripture. Because when I read Ephesians 1 through 3 of how desperate and how helpless and how broken and how sinful and how wretched humankind, not just some people were bad, all mankind was bad. And then I read 1 through 3, and then I get to verse 4, and then it says, but God, I'm thinking, but God should have come with wrath and anger, but it doesn't say that. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, he doesn't say this, but he gave a baby. Man, have we ever thought about that? Maybe I'm the only one that hasn't. Luke 2:6. Just read it. I'm going to read it again. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, his son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for a baby. But Gabriel, who was rich in wrath, for no reason. In my MyPod, whenever I talk about stuff that they happen to question, they go, and Gabriel from present day saints, what is it? Gabriel's Church of Present Day Saints. Yeah, but they love me. No room for a baby. This inn, they stayed in a manger, and we heard Ashley a minute ago talking about a manger and how it's the most humble way of place of being born. I mean, I know people they give birth in a bathtub and stuff. And that's fine. But a manger? You know, that sounds good. You know, a manger was in a place, most of the time it was in a cave, probably, in a little barn. Not like the one out front here. Could have been that size, but it was a manger. Just a place where hay was being laid. Just a feeding trough, just where animals eat food out of. It's like a little baby in there. But the worst part, the craziest part, and this is what I want you to catch. You ready? Catch it. She wasn't ready. She's like. The craziest part was that they first went to an inn. Remember how I said we don't like interruptions? Remember that, James? James doesn't like interruptions. He got mad. And I saw it. He got red in his face. I saw veins popping out all over his head. And he didn't see it. I saw it. I know James. I know him. I'm watching you. But we don't like interruptions, do we? The inn, or let's say the hotel, the motel, they didn't like interruptions either. It's probably midnight, probably late at night. I don't know. But I know it was probably, that's not even make sense. I'm guessing that it was late at night. So they're probably thinking, look, we're full, we're packed out, we don't need blood and stuff. Look, just get out there. And they didn't want any more interruptions. They didn't want any more interruptions. Like a lot of us don't want any interruptions. So he was born in a manger. He was born in a manger. Born in feeding trough. Born in a place where most people would never even go. But man, you know, if the inn would have known who it was, if the inn, check this out, if the hotel would have known that this baby was God's salvation for mankind, do you think they would have opened the door? I don't know. I think they would have. If they would have known that this baby was God wrapped in a human flesh, do you think they would open the door? If they would have known this is the expression of God's love. I think a lot of us treat interruptions wrong. God just comes in and goes, can I give you my son. I think that if all of us understood that the Son represented the expression of God's love, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, gave us a baby. This baby obviously grew up. But whether it was a baby or not, the baby was an expression. It was a revelation of God's love, not God's wrath. See? If we understand this, then it's more exciting and grateful to come into worship. Some of us get interrupted by God all the time. You know that little feeling where you know you're not doing the right thing? It's called some of you just looked at your girlfriend. Some of you just looked at your boyfriend. You're like, yeah, we know what that is. I'm just kidding, I just made that up. I'm guessing, but if it's true. You know that feeling that you know, we call it the conscience. My conscience is speaking to me. You know what I mean? That's probably God. And this is the crazy thing, is that we get this conviction. Hey, you need to go to your MyPod this week. You need to go to GM this week. And we get this interruption in the middle of our comfortable life. But we're like the inn. And we say, I don't got room for that. I don't got time for that. But if we understood that God is coming not to judge you, we are still under the covenant of love. If we understand that when you get that conviction, when you feel God tugging you at 5 o'clock in the morning, hey, come read your word. When you get that tug of God saying, hey, stay up a little bit longer just to worship me. But God, I got to find them. It doesn't matter. Just stay up a little longer. I want to spend time with. If you get that tug, can you know that God's interruptions that are not interruptions of wrath? It's an interruption of his love. That's my whole climax. That's my whole point tonight. Is that God's interruptions, his purpose. See, he wants better for you than you want for yourself. He has bigger dreams for you than you have for yourself. He knows everything about you. He counts the hair on your head. He knows all the wrong things you've ever done. He knows all the sins that you've done. He knows all the horrible things that you've thought in your mind. He knows all these things, and we are not under the covenant of wrath. We are under the covenant of grace and love. I'm not giving you an excuse to go sin. I'm saying that even though you sin, there is repentance and there is forgiveness at hand because God gave a son. God gave a baby. It's the best news. And so right now, right where you are, no matter who you are, where you are in this room, God's interrupting you. And you got to know, God, you're not interrupting me because you're going to smack me down. You're interrupting me because you love me. What does Jesus say? John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. To justify the world. To redeem the world. To love the world. We get a wrong picture of what Jesus is. Yeah, he's not a baby anymore. He's the risen Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for us. So when we make a mistake, we can run back to him when we feel that call. We feel that interruption and we can respond, not because he's going to beat me again or ever, but because he loves me. All of his wrath went on his son, not on you. It's not coming to you. You stand with me? Hey, Trent, you don't have to worry about the PowerPoint. But can we dim down the house lights? I'm sure they're planning on it. Hallelujah. I think that we would all be more excited to worship if we understood that God was interrupting me to love me. God's interrupting mankind to love mankind. God is calling you out of your bedroom at nighttime. God is calling you during your class, just to meditate on him. God is revealing himself to you. God is moving on your conscience because he loves you. Amen?
Amen.
Is that good news? Is that not the biggest and most awesomest but in the Bible? But God, who is rich in mercy. Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God interrupted with a baby. I'm thankful that God interrupted with a baby that came to save the world. And this Christmas season, let God interrupt you. Respond to his interruption. This Christmas season, don't get up in the morning with the interruptions of Christmas music. Get up in the morning with the conviction and with the thought and with the expectation that God wants to interrupt your Christmas morning. God wants to interrupt your Christmas Eve. God wants to interrupt the day after Christmas and every day that you live until the day you die. God wants to interrupt with love. Amen. Let's sing a song. Let's just worship him. Let's not try to worship him. Let's get into his presence. God, tonight, we're grateful. Come on, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God wants to interrupt you with love and forgiveness. God wants to interrupt you with mercy. God wants to interrupt you with compassion. Hey, excuse me, can I forgive you?
Thank you for your mercy.
Can I take that burden off you? That anxiety, can I take that?